In the GOG adjuvant trial, what's the eligibility?
Well, it's interesting. The initial eligibility criteria was for suboptimal stage 3 and 4 patients with epithelial ovarian cancer as well as peritoneal cancer and fallopian tube cancer, which is also really the same disease. The reason they just wanted to include patients just with suboptimal disease because they were hoping to take patients with optimal disease and treat them on intraperitoneal therapies. But there's been a real debate about intraperitoneal therapies, and so they haven't been able to launch any randomized trials of intraperitoneal therapies. So they're going to amend the protocol, which is called GOG-218, to include patients who have optimal stage 3 disease with just some microscopic disease left. So I think that, in fact, is a good move because I think that that group of patients may theoretically even benefit more because they have very little disease and the bevacizumab may prevent regrowth. So the eligibility criteria is being increased to include more patients. As I mentioned, there's still a debate about how best to approach patients with intraperitoneal disease with small volume disease based on a GOG study, which was called 172, which published in the New England Journal a couple of years ago, actually 2 years ago in January now, which showed a survival advantage for intraperitoneal therapy compared to intravenous therapy. But the intravenous therapy in that group, in that trial, was cisplatin and paclitaxel, and many of us have argued that that was the wrong control arm. They should use paclitaxel and carboplatin, and then the difference would not have been great and may not have been statistically significant. The intraperitoneal therapy is extremely toxic. 40% of the patients could only complete 6 cycles of therapy. A lot of neuropathy in that study, a lot of myelosuppression. So community physicians, I don't think, have accepted this treatment because of the high degree of toxicity and the fact that it may not really be better than intravenous carboplatin paclitaxel. And the GOG is still trying to figure out what kind of clinical trial to do. They've looked at some different modifications of intraperitoneal regimens to decrease toxicity, such as using intraperitoneal carboplatin instead of intraperitoneal cisplatin, lowering the dose of the cisplatin. And so the real question is, can you go back and do a large randomized trial again to see if, in fact, you can show that a less toxic intraperitoneal regimen is as good as the previous toxic regimen and if it's really better than intravenous carboplatin paclitaxel? So unfortunately, that answer would take a long time for us to get that result.
Right now, what would you say to a woman in terms of what the prognosis is of both suboptimal and optimal disease?
Well, with a patient who presents with optimal stage 3 disease, the likelihood of her being in a clinical complete remission is about 90% after chemotherapy, either with intravenous chemotherapy or with intraperitoneal therapy. And unfortunately, the time to recurrence will be somewhere around, the median time to recurrence will be about 2 years. So even though they get into a high rate of complete remission, the median time to progression is about 2 years.
What fraction of women don't progress?
Ultimately, probably only 25% of patients will not progress.
And how about suboptimal disease?
Suboptimal patients, about 75% of patients will get into a clinical complete remission, and almost all of those patients will ultimately progress.